A's full of drugs and transients. You could rent an apartment without a long lease, just month to month. It was that kind of place. She stepped off at the third floor and walked down to a cluster of cops outside an apartment. Another policeman blocked her way. She repeated that she was here to see Captain Anders, and he let her through with the admonition not to touch anything. It was a one-bedroom apartment furnished in pseudo-Spanish style. Or at least, she thought it was. 20 men were crowded inside, dusting, photographing, measuring, collecting. It was impossible to visualize how it had looked before the onslaught of police personnel. Anders came over to her. He was young, in his middle 30s, wearing a conservative dark suit. His hair was long enough to hang over the back of his collar, and he wore horn-rimmed glasses. The effect was almost professorial and quite unexpected. It was strange how you built up prejudices. When he spoke, his voice was soft. "Are you Dr. Ross?"
"Yes."
"Captain Anders." He shook hands quickly and firmly. "Thank you for coming. The body is in the bedroom. The coroner's man is in there, too." He led the way into the bedroom. The deceased was a girl in her 20s, sprawled nude across the bed. Her head was crushed, and she had been stabbed repeatedly. The bed was soaked with blood, and the room had the sickly sweet odor of blood. The rest of the room was in disarray, a chair by the dressing table knocked over, cosmetics and lotions smeared on the rug, a bedside lamp broken. 6 men were working in the room, one of them a doctor from the medical examiner's office. He was filling out the death report.
"This is Dr. Ross," Anders said. "Tell her about it."
The doctor shrugged toward the body.
"Brutal methodology, as you can see. Strong blow to the left temporal region, producing cranial depression and immediate unconsciousness. The weapon was that lamp over there. Blood of her type and some of her hair are affixed to it."
Ross glanced over at the lamp, then back to the body.
"The stab wounds?"
"They're later, almost certainly post-mortem. She was killed by the blow to the head."
Ross looked at the head. It was squashed in on one side, like a deflated football, distorting the features of what had once been a conventionally pretty face.
"You'll notice," the doctor said, moving closer to the girl, "that she's put on half her makeup. As we reconstruct it, she's sitting at the dressing table over there making up. The blow comes from above and from the side, knocking her over in the chair, spilling the lotions and crap. And she's lifted up."
The doctor raised his arms and frowned in mock effort, lifting an invisible body.
"From the chair and placed on the bed."
"Somebody pretty strong."
"Oh, yes, a man for sure."
"How do you know that?"
"Pubic hair in the shower drain. We found 2 varieties. One matches hers, the other is male. Male pubic hair, as you know, is more circular, less elliptical in cross-section than female hair."
"No," Ross said. "I didn't know that."
"I can give you a reference on it if you want," the doctor said. "It's also clear that her killer had intercourse with her before the murder. We've got a blood type on the seminal fluid, and it's A.O. The man apparently takes a